Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Say God is good. Amen. I must honestly say I felt 25 years old at Plet, but I'm only 29, so that's all right. Just to give you feedback, lots of you prayed last week, and God opened doors for us there. It is amazing. Just with the organizers of the Plet Rage Committee, they allowed us in, gave us free passes, and they said, January, we must be part of the steering committee. So we're going to trust God to swing that whole thing in the direction that He wants it. Amen? So, hallelujah. I'm going to share on something very simple this morning, but a principle, especially in this time over December and January. I think all of us, we sort of have in our minds a way of thinking, and that way of thinking is holiday, okay? The word holiday actually comes from holy day, which means a very simple place, a time of your life when you sort of, you have to stop a lot of things and you have to consider things and especially understand the consecration. A holy day, a holiness means to consecrate ourselves, to live separately, to do something differently, to live a lifestyle that's different. And we are God's holy people. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. But consecration simply means something very simple, is to set yourself apart for something or someone. For a specific job, a specific thing that you must do, a calling, a purpose. And all of us have this opportunity. But what we sometimes do is we get to the place at the end of the year where we are so tired that we almost sort of switch off. We just say, God, you know, we've had enough. Let's leave it out there. And let's focus on the promises, maybe New Year's resolutions, a lot of that things, those things. And yet, this is such a special time for you and I, where God can speak to us, and for us as families, where He wants to speak to you, because you are stopping your normal life cycles in a way, and you, whether you're going away or whether you're still at home, there's some time for you to consider, to take stock, And I want us to go to Exodus, because I always had this idea that when God would take His people out, the idea was to take the Israelites out of slavery to the promised land. Because that's sort of what the picture says in the book when you read it in the Bible. You know, always like going to the promised land, conquering your promised land. And also as a charismatic church, we sometimes talk so much about the promises. But the promises are almost just a benefit of something. Oh, it's a bonus on something else. But we've become a prosperity type of people, or a breakthrough type of people. And then we forget what God's heart actually is in the middle of all of this. And so here in Exodus chapter 19, God meets with Moses the first time when Moses has come out. And this is sort of the instruction that He gives Moses. He says, Moses, there's some things I want you to come to us, some things I want you to know. And so Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. It is actually very profound. This is how God saw the coming out, not sort of like, hey guys, I'm going to just set you free so that you can be a group of people that are free. God says the purpose of setting you free is one thing. It's simply, I've brought you out on eagle's wings, but I brought you to myself. I've brought you here to come to me. And listen to what he says on. He says, now therefore, indeed, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Isn't that amazing that God would say, all of your life, everything, the purpose of us being here is God in His heart wanting to bring you and I to Himself. And then He says that you become a treasure to me. You come up to this place because it's not so much about the freedom or the prosperity or all the other stuff. It's about coming to me. And that's the first time when he met Moses there, he said to Moses, bring the people out so that they can worship me on this mountain. It was about worship. It was about a place of knowing God. And yet we know what the Israelites did is they were so afraid of God that they said, no, Moses, you go speak to God. Moses, you go and encounter God and you tell us what God tells us. Isn't that how we all like to do that, you know? We like to have sort of mediators between us and God, because then it's easier. It's easy to follow a set of rules. It's easy to follow what's right or wrong. Just tell me, how must I follow God? Because if we have a set of rules, and especially in our culture, in the Western culture especially, we want to be good people. We want to sort of say, hey, I'm nice because I'm doing everything right. And therefore, it's easier to have a set of rules. But all of us that are in a relationship and that are married, you realize that you can't just have a set of rules. You can't come with a little book in the morning and say, oh, point number one, greet your wife. Hello. Point number two, tell her you love her. I love you. Point number three, take the kids to school. Okay. And now, nobody is going to really enjoy and say that is really a relationship if we have a set of rules and we have a little book that we take out in our relationships. But there's this mystery the Bible talks about in marriage. It says when a husband and a wife comes together, I don't know about you, but I'm still trying, almost married 20 years, but now trying to figure out how does this mystery work? Because when you are in relationship with a woman, then you realize like, whoa, this is like a gift from God. This is something to discover for the rest of your life. This is something that a journey that you're going on, but it's us together finding the purposes of God, but finding ourselves on this journey. So it's not a set of rules. You can't live by a set of rules. There are disciplines and there's a lot of stuff that helps us to run and order the house that we live in. But we can't live by rules. We live by this place of intimacy. And this is what God calls the people to. And he says, especially for us over this holiday times, I want to really challenge us. Are you taking holiday to just have a rest, or are you taking holiday because God has brought you to a place of meeting with him? For you and for me and for our families. A place where we can set ourselves apart and say, God, this is a time for me to consecrate myself to you, because maybe next year is going to be tougher than this year. And I realized that I remember walking there in Plet and in the evening, because we had like teams going out from 9 till 1 and then teams from 12 o'clock till 5 o'clock the next morning. So you walk around there and it's just people just drink there. Last year already when I came home, I said to my two daughters, I said, you're not going to go to Plet. There's no way. You're grade 8 now, but you're not going to go to Plet. There's no way over my dead body. You know, so I've warned them. I'm a prophet in the house, you know. I just said, because what I saw there, you know, I just realized like, ooh, you know. But when I walked through the streets, then I saw how these people and the kids are going around and what they're doing, and everybody's drunk. I sort of felt like this thing, and I think the Holy Spirit made me feel it. Sort of like I felt like a stranger in this world. I felt like, God, this is really not my home. You love these people, and that's why I'm here. But I'm actually just passing through because the world has gone crazy. The fears, the anxieties, the stuff that happens around us, we're not of this world. The Bible says we're just pilgrims, we're passing through. We cannot be attached to these things. And that's why, you know, what we sometimes try to do in our holidays is we run to the things because we're trying to find our strength or our courage or our physical strength from those things. And there's nothing wrong with resting, and I'm not saying anything against that. I'm just saying what it's really about is a place of consecration. A place where you and I must say, okay, God, I want your word. I want you to speak to me. Because it's only the word of God that you can hang on to. Yeah, it's not your New Year's resolutions. It's not what I think, what I can do best. And think like, let's make this work. Let's make this thing come together. And because we can't. You know, as a one of the leaders here in the church, I just say, Jesus, I really, the one thing I believe is that you're going to build your church. I can't do that. Not one of us can build the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, so the same in that we can't build our families. We can't make it through this year without God. And that's why it's so important, because part of that consecration is right in the middle. We see God speaking to Moses and God bringing the word of God. Now, the people, obviously, they said, no, give us the Ten Commandments. Give us the law. Give us, just tell us what God wants and what he requires of us. But that was never God's intention. Because here from the word, God, he says, I want you to be a treasure to me. I want you to be my holy people. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to speak to you. I don't know if you've been ever at a place where you only have the word of God in your life. You have nothing else. You can't rely on your circumstances. But God's word came in a specific season and God confirmed it. And now you stand on the word of God. Has anybody ever experienced that? And then God comes through because you understand God is faithful. He's seen. He knows what's going to happen next year. He knows what's happening in your life right now. But the question is, do we trust him? Or do we just trust in his promises or in his deliverance? But there's a place, there's an invitation. And that's why it's so beautiful what God says to Moses here. He says, I want you to be a treasure. I want you to be a special treasure to me. Verse 10, let's read on. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So God wants to speak to them, but he says, what you need to do is for 3 days, just take the people and consecrate themselves, sanctify it. He actually made them build a wall around a fence around the mountain and say, don't let the people come over this because, hey, wash your clothes, prepare yourself. Wash Egypt a little bit out. Get out, get the world system. And I don't like going to places in holidays where there's a lot of people because sometimes it's just too rushed, you know. But sometimes we mix ourselves so much and we sort of say, hey, that's going to be my happiness. That's going to be my fulfillment. But, you know, it's only in our relationships that we find true value. It's only in our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And so I really want to encourage us also that if we know of people in the church that are lonely over this time, make an effort to invite them. That's what the family of God is about. You know, there's a summer camp going on with, 180 young people, high school kids at the moment. We started on Thursday, and there was this one boy, he's grade 8, and he came to me, not last night, the night before that, and he said, do you know what? I don't have a dad, but will you be my dad? And I said, okay, I'll adopt you. I haven't told Louise yet, but I'm going to adopt him. You know, I get into trouble sometimes. Huh? And I said to him, do you know what? This family, this is your family. Because he's come on his own to summer camp. He just heard about it. But he wants to find God. And he comes out of a very bad background. And then you realize, like, hey, there's a broken world. And this is why it's so important that you and I just shift our values. Not just onto ourselves, but onto say, God, I want to make a room and space for people around me that maybe don't have family, that don't have that place. But it's a consecration. It's a place where God says that I want to be first over your holidays. I want to be first in your life. Listen to this in Exodus 20. Later on, he goes in and says, you shall have no other gods before me because I am a jealous God. There's a part of God that's almost a place that we don't want to go to, but part of his love is a jealousy. Part of his life is he's looking out over what you and I occupy ourselves with. And we can decide, yes, I'm going to feed the natural flesh and I'm going to rest just in the natural, but I can also rest in the emotional. But are you resting in the Spirit? Are you resting in the place where you say, God, I want your word because it's only your word that will stand? Because God is jealous. He's watching over you and I. What are we busy with? What do we consecrate ourselves to? What are the things that occupy your mind? It was so funny. She won't mind me telling it, but Yolandi and Marco. Marco is like the medic on the camp. And so Yolandi, they married, and they married now almost a year. And so Marco, there's all these teenage girls that now, you know, they just, Marco is a worship leader, so they just want to be around Marco. But now wherever Marco goes, Yolandi is there as well, you know, because now, you know, she's just checking out, you know. And I think, like, that's so beautiful, you know, that bit of beautiful jealousy a little bit, you know. You know, I know he's the medic, and maybe you've got hurt, but he's not going to touch your foot, you know. Just like I'll touch your foot, you know. And I was just looking at it, I was thinking, like, that is so great, because part of that love is a beautiful jealousy. It's like, hey, hands off, you know. Hey, who are you, you know? Because, you know, these teenage girls, they just fall in love with anybody godly, you know. That's amazing. But there's part of God's heart over you and I is that he's jealous over what you spend your time with and what you spend your energy with. And is he number one in our lives? And it's not an ugly thing. It's not a wicked thing. It's a beautiful thing in God's heart. And he wants us to feel the same about our relationships. He wants us to feel the same about the people around us. But it's a protective thing. It's a thing that says, I want you to be a consecrated people. I really desire that God's purposes will happen in your life. Okay, jumping to the New Testament, we find in 1 Peter chapter 2, where the same principle is there, and it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. We had not obtained mercy, but now I have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. I'm going to read that slowly again, but Peter writes and he says, you have been chosen by God. Don't you realize that? Don't you realize that there's something God has placed on your life? There's a call. There's a greater purpose for why we are here as Christians. He says, you are a royal priesthood. You are royalty, and a priest is somebody that builds a bridge between God and man. Somebody that goes to stand before God and worships God and has a relationship with God, but not on his own or her own. We actually represent a bunch of people before God. And once we've been in God's presence, when we come out of God's presence, then we represent God to the people. So once you walk out these doors, you are a holy priest. You are a representation of Christ. You are a little Christ called Christians. Because why? You've seen God. You've been on the mountain. And you can introduce other people to that same place. I can introduce people to that same place and say, this is who God really is. I think the biggest challenge is not that the world doesn't want to get saved, but it's lukewarm Christians. It's Christians that they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And we see it on campus here a lot. The other day, this young man came to me in his first year, and he said, do you know what? There's this group of Christians that they're in my res, and this one guy who's a leader, he preaches, and he's got the word and all of that, and he comes from this charismatic church, but he sleeps around with his girlfriend. I don't want to follow Christ. Because if I look at his example, then he's a hypocrite. And people can see straight through hypocrisy. Do you know that's the only people Jesus challenged? Was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was the friend of sinners. But the only people he could not stand with was the proud and the hypocrites. The word for hypocrites is actually actor. It's somebody that lives another life at home than what he lives in public. Same word, hypocrisy, actor that we use. And so the challenge for us is you can't switch off God over your holidays. You can't switch off God in this time. It just doesn't work. You can't switch off Christianity and then go on with your natural life. We are a spirit being first. And this is what Peter writes to these guys. He says, look here, I want to tell you the position that you're occupying. You're a priest. You're a holy nation. You're different. You've been set apart by God because of God's call. You've been chosen by God. For what? What is the purpose for that priestly service? He says it, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So once we've lived in this place of consecration, consecration on its own cannot stand unless there's proclamation, proclaiming the praises of God. Once we've a consecrated people, and this is what some people misunderstand, because that was the purpose of God. He says, hey, Jews, I'm calling you out. Israelites, I'm calling you out to myself so that you can have a relationship with myself. But you know what? Then I'm going to set you apart as a treasure to the world, to all the other nations, so that they can be redeemed. This is not a feel good just because you're a nice Christian or because you're a nice Jew, because you're not my special people and I hate all the other people, all the Gentiles and the pagans out there. He says, I've called you so that you can proclaim my praises. So the Jews today are still struggling because they misunderstood this. They thought like, oh, okay, we're so special that all the rest can go to hell. But God only used them as a vessel of priestly order or salvation so that all the other nations will begin to say, hey, we want to be like them. Because you know what? The other nations could become Jews with their interaction because they saw, oh, that God is really alive. Their God lives. Their God, I want to be part of them. So almost like a bit of a jealousy on that side. But you know, there's so few Christians that live that lifestyle where people out there would say, I want what you have. I want to live what you have. I was thinking this week, Johan, I have to put you on the spot. Johan Aspeling here in front is retired now. And I was thinking like, wow, what a man of God. Retiring now after 40 years. How many years? Of being 40. 34. Sure. Of being the registrar of the university. I really want to honor you for that, Johan. You know, of being a man of God in a place of serving people for so many years. What a testimony. I remember walking into his office many times, and then you feel the peace of God in his office. You realize this is a man that worships God. What he says in the office and what he says at home is the same thing. You can see it in his family. You can see it. And I think, like, God, what a testimony for so many years in this university. Amen? Because, hey, people can see that. People want that. People want the real Jesus. They want to see in your life and my life that we are a priestly order. We're different. We're a consecrated people. We live holy before God. And we see that in the book of Acts because people ran to the people in the book of Acts and says, hey, what must we do to be saved? Not so much because of the power in their lives, but because of the testimony of the people that lived. They walk the walk and talk the talk. And so that is what we consecrate ourselves to. He says, so that you can proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Out of darkness into his marvelous light. I love how the Bible says it. It doesn't just say, oh, in his... this little light of mine, you know, we sing that song, but the scripture actually talks about like a massive light, you know. He says, you've come out of darkness into his, not just light, his marvelous light. And that's where God wants us to live. That's where God wants us to be separate away from the world, but separate unto him. I've called you out of darkness. You cannot have darkness in your life anymore because I've called you into my marvelous light. I've called you to that place. You once were a people, but you are now the people of God. Where people around you can see, hey, look at their testimony. Look at his life. I remember being in Rwanda, I think it was 1998, after the genocide. And we were going to this museum and we were walking around. Now, we didn't have like fish on our head or like come serve Christ or like a cross or anything. We were just walking to this museum. We were like a bit traumatized. Because I remember walking into this one big hall, probably as big as this one, and there were still corpses stacked up to the top because they threw lime on it, and it was just like a whole process of trying to identify who all these people was. Almost a million people got killed. So we were traumatized. Now we, in that darkness, we're walking through this museum area at the back, and I'll never forget it. This lady coming, And she grabbing hold of my back. You know, now, obviously, coming from South Africa, you just want to defend everything you have. You think it's somebody that's attacking you or wanting to take your wallet or something. But so I'm turning around, and there's this lady standing. She says, "I want to know Jesus." And I thought, like, how do you know we're Christians? She says, "No, no, when you walked in here, I saw." And right there, we led her and two of her friends to Christ. And that was sort of a journey. I remember that week and that next morning. So there were lots of things happening. But that next morning, we were standing on this big marketplace in Kigali. And so I'm just waiting there, sent three people to go and buy bread. So there's hundreds, probably a couple of thousand people just pressing in there. And then this one guy comes running up again, grabs me at the back and just starts to shake me. And I turn around and I think, like, okay, defend yourself. And he says, "You're a pastor." I said, "Yes." He says, "You're from South Africa." I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you know what? God woke me up. Took me 3 hours to get here because the Lord told me I'm going to find you here. And he told me a vision. I saw a tsunami breaking from the southern point of South Africa, right over Africa, starting in South Africa. That's going to sweep the continent. But the church in South Africa must wake up. I've got a message for you. The church of South Africa, you must wake up." And then he turned around and he ran. I stood there shocked. I'll never forget it in my life. Never forget that word that he gave. The church in South Africa must wake up. Here this guy finds me. Now obviously, the color of my skin does make me look a bit different between lots of Kigalians. Okay, but here's this team and this guy runs right there. Got a message from God. The church in South Africa must wake up and prepare itself. That's what he said. I was thinking, like, wow, God, you have plans, but we're not ready. Because sometimes we're so busy with the things around us. We are a holy people. We have obtained mercy, says then verse 10. But now we have not obtained mercy, but now I have obtained mercy, beloved. And then he says, "I beg you." This is the word he uses. "As pilgrims, as sojourners, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." He says, stay away from the fleshly stuff. Become true spiritual Christians that live a consecrated life, that live in that space where God can speak to you, where he can speak to me, where he can release his words over your life. And some of us, you know, we get tired because we sort of just go on the same old, same old. But then you are in the right place, because as long as you just open up your heart to God and say, "God, speak to me. I want your word to be the lamp unto my feet. I'm not going to try to do stuff in the flesh. I'm not going to try to, like, just to get my rules and regulations to be a good Christian. But I want to live in that place where you bore me out, where you bring me out on eagle's wings, where I become your treasure." And some of us must believe that you, God wants you to be his treasure. God wants us to be his treasure, where God can say to all the world, "Look at those people. My symbol is on them. My Holy Spirit is on them. They're different." Not because we are holy and we sprinkle water and we live like, ooh, drink prune juice every day and we become dignified, you know. It's simply because we live in a space where we know God and we can tell the world, "Hey, out there, world gone crazy. We want to tell you who Christ is." Can I get an amen? It's very quiet in here. Amen. Everybody's just waiting for me to get holiday on Thursday, okay? But he says, he begs them, and you need to get the heart of Peter. He says, "I beg you, walk away from fleshly lust." You can feed your flesh, you can do all of that stuff. But people, we are a spiritual people. The things that give us direction is the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit, it's not our flesh. We can have everything in the flesh in order, but let's not become a rules and regulations and a good type of Christian that just do stuff because, hey, that's nice to do. The direction we get, the life we get, is because of the Word of God in our lives. It's because God has called us. We are his chosen people. Let me quickly read here and just remind us of our legacy, where we come from. It's in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. You know, I love this Pentecost. It's the first fruits of the barley harvest was given. So it was a joyous occasion. It was a place where people just came and said, "Hey, God has blessed us so much, but let's come to this feast, the feast of Pentecost. Let's walk up to this place and let's go and celebrate. Let's give our first fruits to God." Isn't this amazing that now in this next couple of weeks, and especially I want to encourage us on the 1st of January, take time off with your family, take communion, pray and say, "God, I give you the first day of this year." We cannot as Christians do stuff outside of the principles of God if we don't live consecrated lives. Then February comes and we say, "Oh God, y'all, please bless me because, you know, I've rested out so much, but I've locked you out of my life." Just clear your calendar for the 1st of January. Learn to give God your first fruits. Just come together as a family, pray and say, "God, on our knees, we will not make it this year if it's not without you, if it's not with you. If you don't come to bring us and show us and direct us by your word." And so, you know, the seal that they gave is the Arabon. And I love this picture of how God says, I'm putting a down payment, an engagement ring on you as a Christian. And that's for spirit-filled believers. That's what happened here. What happened in the book of Acts is they consecrated themselves to God. They went up there and it wasn't a comfortable place. 120 people up there in the upper room. Now, the upper room was very small. It was like less than half of the stage. I've had the privilege to be there, standing in that upper room and thinking, how did 120 people fit in here? How did they come into this space? They locked the doors. They were afraid of what's going to happen. And the Bible says, once they came into that agreement, that one accord, suddenly. I love it when God suddenly comes, yeah? And there was so much movement in that place that they had to open the doors and everybody just like ran out, you know. But the Holy Spirit came and that was the down payment. That was the deposit. That was the seal on their lives. I did a wedding yesterday and it's so amazing, you know, when people walk around with that ring, just for all the single men, yeah, nothing means nothing without that thing on the finger. But when that lady gets that ring on the finger, it means like they worship differently. They're like, everything is different, you know. Just like the rock of all ages, you know, the rock on which I stand. You know, I don't know what. But it's amazing that engagement ring, that there's a promise. I'm set apart. I belong to somebody else. I'm going to belong to somebody else soon. There's going to be a wedding day. There's going to be a moment. And you know, that's how God sees it when you and I walk through this earth. He puts an engagement ring on us called the Holy Spirit, the seal of the promise. The word is Arabon. He says, you engage to me. There's going to be a wedding supper one day. And if you and I don't live for that day, if we don't live for the Maranatha in our hearts, then we get planted in this world. And then we allow the things of this world to drag us in. And then we forget that we're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. We're just sojourners. We're just on a journey. Why? Because we're engaged to somebody. We're the bride of Christ. And that picture is so beautiful because all of us can relate to it. But you and I need to say, hey, that bride is not going to run around. That bride-to-be is not running around in the world trying to find affirmation and trying to find love and acceptance by the world. And that is the thing that scared me the most, or just shocked me the most. Let me use the right word when I looked at what happened at Plet Rage. These girls have got nothing on. They're running around. They're just looking for affirmation. And they'll do anything to get it. And I realized, God, the world has gone crazy. If our young people is at that place where they'll just give their bodies out for anybody just for one bit of sense of affirmation and love, which is just lust, we've gone crazy. But there's a chosen race. There's a race that's dedicated. There's a people of God that comes to Him and says, God, we are betrothed to you. We engage to you. Maranatha, our Lord Jesus come. A people of God that are not afraid to proclaim his praises. A people of God that are not afraid to say, hey, I'm married to be the bridegroom to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm sealed. And nothing in this world can satisfy me. I'm sealed with the promise that there's a God. There's a maker. Can I get an amen? Yeah. You see, and that's what I want us to remind us, because God, and I'm not going to even read all the other scriptures, but there's a boldness, there's a courage that comes from the fact that you are sealed. And you can read in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 4 later, and then, you know, the persecution comes, the tough time comes, and then they just pray, say, God, grant us that with greater boldness we can preach the word. But right in the middle of there, Acts chapter 4, the Bible says there was this massive miracle that happened, and then all the people came and they wanted to persecute the disciples, and then the Bible says that, and they marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus. Sure. The Bible says they marveled at the miracle that happened, but the marvel will go away, the amazement will go away, but they realized that these disciples had been with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You see, there's so many of us running after the miracles, the breakthroughs, and all that stuff. But if you see all of that miracles, will somebody still stop and say, I realize one thing, he's been with Jesus. She's been spending time with Christ, because I can see it. She lives Christ. She's intimate with Christ. She knows Christ. She's his treasure, his special people. You see, otherwise we run around and we try to do all the miracles and all those things, all the promise. The promised land is there. It's lying open for us to take. But do that in the middle of all that stuff. When all the promises come through in your life, they realize that you've been with Christ. That I've been in that secret place with the Father. And so this morning is a bit of a challenge. I've got 10 other scriptures, but we're going to stop here. Because I want the band to come up and for us to just start taking one step. Because maybe you are here today and you don't spend time with God at all. Maybe you don't realize that the way that he looks at you is not to just bring breakthrough in your life, but that you become a special treasure to him. God really enjoys you and I when we come with our brokenness, with our failure, with all that stuff. But we have to come. He says, when you come, when you draw near to me, then I will draw near to you. And I want to put a seal on you, a promise that you realize that you're just passing through this life. But we have to, you and I have to come to this place where we understand the consecration part. You have to come. You have to bring yourself into the presence of God. The blood of Jesus Christ gives you access and boldness to come to him, but you have to come. It's your choice or it's my choice. Or we can become strangers to God and people that love the world, and we just look just like the world. You see, so what we many times do in church is we give people self-help schemes to be better parents, to be better husbands, to be better wives, to be better fathers and mothers and all of that stuff. And that is great. That's what the community should be like. But what we sometimes neglect in church, and especially in the charismatic church, is we neglect people to tell them, you're part of the bride of Christ. And there's a bridegroom that is jealous over you. There's a bridegroom that you are walking this road to. And he wants intimacy with you. He wants you to bring all of your brokenness before him. He wants you to stand before him naked, not ashamed, and come to that place and say, God, I want you to put your seal on me. I want to be a sealed person. I want to have an engagement ring so that I don't have eyes for the world. So we don't want to do self-help schemes to get you out of sin. Because sin, do you know the definition for sin is just missing the mark, missing the purpose of God. Missing the fact that there's an opportunity for you and I through our lives, once we've consecrated ourselves, to begin to proclaim and tell the world, there's somebody that died for you, that loves you. Will you stand with me this morning as we're going to sing that last song again? Because I didn't tell James he must prepare that song. But this is my desire to honor you. Lord, I give you my heart. And I know there's a lot of us here this morning. Maybe you're tired. You just think like, do you know what? I just need a break. I just need some resting time because your body may be tired. And that's great. Rest and spend time with the family. Spend time with the dogs. Walk the dogs. Don't kick the dogs. Just, I'm referring to a specific family here, but they will know who they are. And that is amazing, people. That is great. God has given us the Sabbath principle. We must rest. But rest is never an absence from Him. Rest is a place we find only in God. That place where we come to His Word and we say, God, speak Your Word. I remember at the beginning of this year, somebody brought me a word. Just one, the guy walked into my life and says, "This, I believe this is a word of God for you for this year." That word carried me through all the storms, all the tough times, all the times I wanted to quit, all the times I just wanted to run away. I was just going to read that word. I said, God, you are faithful. God, you are true to your word. Isn't that amazing that God sends His word? The Bible says in John 1 that He sent His word, Jesus Christ, into our lives. You know, there was 400 years of silence. The prophets didn't speak. The Jews were incomplete. The Bible says there was a famine for the word of God before Christ came. And then the Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His word. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His word. God is never late. God hasn't written you off. God knows exactly where you are, but He wants you to draw near to Him. Because the moment when you come, He'll send His word. He sent forth His Son. And the book of Hebrews says it was His final word. It's that place of intimacy with God. That place where we forget about the promised land first and we forget about Egypt and the world. He says, come, be a treasure unto me. So I want us this morning just to take a moment as we're going to sing that song again. Maybe you don't know Christ, then you need to come to Him today. You need to commit your life to Him. You need to say, God, I want to start with You. I want to leave the regulations. I want to leave the religion. I want to stop trying to be a good person or a good Christian by just coming to church. God, I want an intimate relationship with You. I want You to speak to me. I want to be a consecrated priest so that once I've been in Your presence, I can go to the world and say, I'm no longer in darkness. I've come to His marvelous light. And then your light will shine and everybody will see there's a consecrated girl, there's a consecrated couple, there's a consecrated family. And I tell you, the world is going to run to the church and say, what must we do to be saved? We're in darkness. You have the light. Let people be separate. Will you consecrate yourself in this time? Father, we come to You as Your children this morning. And we just take a moment, Lord, to repent, God. Repent on behalf of the body of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we look just like the world. We find our pleasure in the world. We find our satisfaction and our treasure in the world. And yet, God, You are our treasure. You are the one, Father, the only one that can satisfy us, Lord. We repent, God, that we have stopped reading Your word and that we've stopped relying on Your prophetic word into our lives, God, that we've built structures around us, Lord, to make us feel safe and good and perfect, Father, in many ways. But this morning, Lord, as we embark on this journey with You, Father, we want to be Your treasure. We want to be Your special people, Your holy nation, set apart, Lord. Priests unto You, Father. Priests unto the world. Father, I pray today, Lord, that You break yokes and veils over people's lives, Lord, that make us trapped, Lord, that make us feel like we're just part of the world, God. We're not just pilgrims passing through. But today I pray, God, for awareness again, God, a revelation, an inspiration of the Holy Spirit on our lives, the arabon, the down payment, the seal of the promise. God, speak to us in the night. Speak to us in the day, Lord. Stir like you stir the waters of Bethesda, Lord. Stir, God, the waters, Father, so that we only will be so thirsty for the living waters, for you, God, that we will not be thirsty in this time for the things of this world, Father. That we'll be so aware, God, of this world, this wicked, perverse generation that we're living in, God, that's just running after the flesh, running after own desires, running after worldly satisfaction. But Lord, as your people, we say we're hungry, we are thirsty for you, God. It's our desire to worship you. It's our desire, Lord, to show the world the light that we have. But God, we can't do it in the state that we are as the church, Father. And we pray that you'll rid us from the world, rid us from the things, Lord, that satisfy us, Father. And show us your heart, Lord. Lord, that you can say in the heavenlies, those people, they're my treasure. Thank you for a special people, God. A holy nation that you're raising up, a generation, Lord, of worshipers. A generation that will seek you with all of their hearts, Lord. And this morning we pray that you'll circumcise our hearts. We want to wholeheartedly worship you. So if you're here this morning and God is speaking to you and you would like to just to come to the front and we want to pray with you, just want to take that moment. We don't even need to pray for you, but where you just consecrate yourself to God and say, God, I realize that the road that I've been walking on is the wrong road. There's some of you that are carrying bags of cement, spiritual cement on your shoulders, and God wants to set you free. But you need to bring it to Him. The Bible says, cast your cares upon Him. There's some of you that are worrying about family members, things that are weighing you down. You've taken the wrong road. You've taken the wrong U-turns. You've gone in the wrong direction. You know, God's grace is here this morning, and He says, come, I'm going to show you my way. But then it takes some humility. Take some of that place where you and I just consecrate ourselves and say, God, I'm a broken vessel. Take my life. Take my heart. So if you'd like us to pray for you, maybe you're struggling. There's some people here this morning I feel that are struggling to sleep at night. You're so anxious. You're so worried. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know, especially about your future. And we just love to pray with you. So as we're going to sing this song, if you would like to respond, or if you just like to sit down in the moment, just say, God, I realize that I don't live a consecrated life. And guys, we must consecrate everything. Everything as if it's our last day. The time is drawing close for Christ to return. And He's coming back to a spotless bride. A pure that has made herself ready for Him. So if you would like prayer, or even if as a family, maybe you'd just like to pray together where you're sitting, then do that this morning. Don't just rush up. Let's just come. There's a holy moment this morning. Say, God, here we are. For you, for your praises, for your glory. Hallelujah.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.